everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another opportunity to have a great conversation about topics that are really important to me, and I know you will find them important to you. So today is another really profound conversation. And for those of you who may be joining for the first time, I'd like to welcome you and to let you know that this show is about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. Before we jump into the topic at hand, I just want to let everyone know that I actually am going to Peru, taking a small group with me in February. I actually haven't mentioned this before, but I thought I would put the word out there on the show. Peru is an amazing place, and it has so much of a sacred power to it. Actually, the program that I am doing, and there are only a couple of places. In fact, I'm only taking 10 people with me. So I have people coming from Australia and the U.S. It's going to be quite an international contingent. But the purpose is not just going on a little touristy trek through Machu Picchu and then on into the Amazon. Actually, this is really a journey that I'm taking for myself and opening the opportunity up to people to come with me for a spiritual transformational experience, because I will be spending time with shaman in the Amazon, working with plant medicines, particularly with the plant medicine known as ayahuasca. And I have been doing a lot of investigation. I've had guests on my show talking about this experience and the power of this plant medicine to heal emotional wounds, to heal physical body, and most importantly, to facilitate a profound spiritual transformation and a direct connection to who you are. So this is what really attracts me in my life at this time, and I am opening up the invitation for those of you who might be drawn to this journey to contact me. The program actually is for 2 weeks, February 13th to February 26th. We will be spending a week in the Andes in Machu Picchu. There is some plant medicine that we will have an opportunity to experience there. And then we will be flying down to the Amazon, staying at a center on the Amazon. And during that time, we'll be opening to the ayahuasca journeys. There are four opportunities during that week, if you so choose, to partake. And that will be guided by a traditionally trained shaman in the jungle where the plant medicine comes from. It's a very profound experience. It's definitely going to be life-changing. So if you would like to journey with me in this small group experience and to work with the shaman and the plant medicines for the purpose of healing and transformation, then I certainly invite you to contact me. So I'm going to give you a phone number, and if you'd like to get more information about this program, you can either call me, which the number I'm giving you right now is a way to leave a message, and I will get back to you, 918-728-7069. And the other opportunity, if you're out of the country, you can email me at drselman, D-R-S-E-L-L-M-A-N, at whatwomenmustknow.com. That's my email address, and I will be happy to send you more information about the program. As I said, there are only two places or so left on this special journey into the eternal, as I am calling it, into Peru. And if you'd like to start the new year in a way that will forever transform who you are and how you see the world, come along. It will definitely be an interesting journey. So anyway, that's something I've been wanting to share with all my listeners and haven't had a chance. So there you go. Now, let's talk about our topic today. We're going to be exploring what is going on with smart meters, and most importantly, what is the best way to be protected from smart meters. The world of electromagnetic radiation is something that I have been personally researching and lecturing about for the past 10 years. People who go to my Facebook page know that I post a lot of information. In fact, just today I've posted some information that was on the Today Show. And in fact, Dr. Oz just did a piece on the concern about the exposure to EMFs and our children's health and how much exposure children are getting. Much more, a child will have much greater exposure in their life than adults will ever have. And that's posing some serious risks and problems, and it's being acknowledged by pediatricians. So a while back, I had a wonderful interview with Josh DeSole, and Josh created the documentary Take Back Your Power. It was quite a profound conversation. His documentary is absolutely essential watching. I know you can get it up online. It's called Take Back Your Power. And he laid the whole story out about the real dangers from smart meters, and particularly the hidden agendas that are going on from this whole rollout. And just exactly how many smart meters are being rolled out? Well, here's the latest statistic that I found. And it is 602.7 million installed smart meters have been or will be installed by 2016. I think there's over 50 million in the United States, and I know that they're mandated in Australia and other parts of the world. So we have some problems here with smart meters. We're going to talk about that today. And like anything that I have been investigating, it's great to reveal the issues, talk about the problems. But what we really need to do is also provide solutions. And that is part of our conversation today. So to help us understand the smart meter situation, what really is a smart meter, why is it a danger, and the more important issue of what is it that we can do to be protected, I have asked Carl Hyman to come and speak with us today. And I just want to say that I've been doing some research, and I'm not even sure how I came across Carl, but in my inevitable way of investigating, I saw his product, which is called a smart meter guard. We're going to talk about that. And I saw the video he put on his website. I was really impressed, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Carl. So here he is. He's going to be with us today. And just a little bit about Carl Hyman. He owns and operates several small businesses in the Santa Cruz area and is on the board of several nonprofit organizations. Prior to owning small businesses, Carl was in the high technology business with over 22 years of experience in semiconductor capital equipment in the field of semiconductor device fabrication using high power RF systems. I have no idea what I just said, but I know Carl will help us elaborate and most importantly help us understand how his technical background has led to his concern and real passion for providing solutions. So anyway, we're going to have a great conversation, and it's my pleasure to welcome Carl to the show today. So welcome, Carl.
Hey, thank you, Cheryl, for having me. I really appreciate it. This will be a good opportunity for your listeners to learn a lot about smart meters and EMF.
Well, that's great, because I know you are someone who's taken on this cause and you've really investigated into how to provide protection. So first of all, I think we need to talk about smart meters. We need to talk about what they are, why they are a risk. I think, first of all, let's just talk about smart meters, what they are and what they do.
Yeah, sure. Let me start first by kind of introducing myself a little bit more and why I'm doing this, how it came about, and so forth. And my experience in the semiconductor industry was working with semiconductor processing equipment. It's basically equipment that makes computer chips in simple terms. But the equipment that we used high-powered RF, which is radio frequency waves, which is the same thing that smart meters use, cell phones use, microwave ovens use. And so I have a lot of experience in that. And since I'm on the board of several nonprofit organizations, I would go to city council meetings. And in these meetings, the city gives people free time to talk, 3 minutes per person. And every meeting I would go to, there'd be four or five people trying to stop the utility companies from putting on smart meters. And I quickly realized that the utility companies are so big and so powerful that it was really futile for people to try and stop them from putting it on. And so I said to myself, well, since it's nearly impossible to stop the utility companies, why not just shield yourself from this RF that they emit? And so that's where I got started in this business, and it's purely from a technical side of understanding RF and how it works and how to shield it. So that's how our company got started, and that's how I got involved in it.
So well, here you
that's
are.
That's my little introduction.
Well, no, that's great. It's always interesting how our life unfolds and how our past experiences take us into some unexpected directions.
Exactly. So let me talk about smart meters and just basically what they are. And then what I would like to do for you and your listeners is just to talk and educate people, because the most powerful tool that you can have is education and understanding things. And once you understand how things work, you're better prepared to really find solutions and find the right type of solutions. So that's what I'll be talking about, and I'm going to walk through a couple things on educating people on smart meters and what EMF is and how it works and how to block it. Is that all right with you?
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're here to do today.
Okay, great. And I'll just run through it, so if you have any questions, just stop me and let me know. So basically, smart meters are the replacement for what they call the old analog meters. And the analog meter is a unit that mounts to the side of your house, and it monitors your power usage. And then a utility worker would come to everybody's house and write the numbers down, and they would subtract it from the last numbers, and that's how much they figured the power that you use, and then they would send you a bill. The utilities quickly realized that they can make a lot more money if they put a smart meter on. And basically, the smart meter monitors your power usage, but sends that information wirelessly to the utility companies. So the utility companies no longer have to have a meter reader, so they save money there. And then they know how much power you're using by the minute and by the hour, so they can charge you different rates during the day. And so the smart meter replaced the old analog meter. And in doing that, there was a lot of people that found they were sensitive to the high-frequency power that they emitted. So that's essentially what a smart meter is. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but doesn't it have some other purpose as well, or has it evolved so it has some other purposes, which I think maybe we should talk about, such as a way to have surveillance in a person's home, what's going on in their patterns of usage and who's around. You want to say something about that?
Sure. Yeah. So the old analog meters, the meter reader came and read your power at the beginning of the month and at the end. And they had no idea what you did in between. With smart meters now, they know how much power you used by the minute and by the hour. So they can see when you're using power and when you're not. And they can actually look at that power signal, how much it is, when it cycles on and off, so they know what appliance you're using, whether it's a refrigerator, whether it's a heater, a toaster oven. They have particular power signals. So from that standpoint, they know what you're using and when you're using it. The thing they don't have is they can't really talk to your devices. They can't talk to your refrigerator. They can't talk to your electric heater right now. In the future, they will be able to, because appliances will be smart. And once they're smart, then the utility companies can communicate with the individual appliances in your house. right now they can't do that, but it's quickly moving into that. So that's how they can really monitor what you're using. It's by the energy usage signal that they see from your house.
Which may sound innocent enough in the moment, but then again, if we're starting to develop these smart devices, at some point, potentially, there are ways that through this wireless technology, devices can be controlled, or we can be monitored, or we can have outside forces determining how much time or energy or what devices we're going to be using at what times. Potentially,
that is
right?
Absolutely right, and it's moving very, very quickly into that realm. Not quite there right now, but it will be very shortly.
Yeah, that's scary. And there's one other thing I want to ask you, which I've been looking at and researching, and that's the fact that utility companies are using our homes and businesses for their microwave networks now. Do you know about that?
Yeah, well, they actually have something they call collector smart meters, and most smart meters will transmit their information. But where they transmit it can be a couple different places. One is it transmits directly to the utility company, and then they look at your power usage. The other thing that they do is they transmit groups of homes' information to someone's smart meter in their house, and then that smart meter will communicate with the utility company and send all the information from the surrounding houses. So the unfortunate people that have a collector smart meter are being radiated much more because it communicates a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the information I've been looking at here, it says, you know, you're constantly, and we're going to talk about this because it kind of fits into the health consequences, but it constantly transmits and repeats data from 500 or more homes in potentially in a network. So
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
I mean, that's huge amount of radio frequencies that are going through some of these collectors, which radiates a tremendous amount of EMFs in a person's environment.
Yeah. Well, what happens is most smart meters just transmit about every 20 to 40 seconds your data.
Mm-hmm.
But a collector smart meter will almost constantly send a signal because there's a lot of data that they have to send, so they communicate a lot. So let's talk about a little bit about what EMF is and why the smart meters use it, and because it's pretty important to really understand the technology that they use and why people might be sensitive to it. So you hear the term a lot, EMF, and you hear the term RF. Well, they're essentially the same thing. RF means radio frequency. And I'm sorry if I get a little bit technical here, but it's good to understand. So radio frequency is a signal wave that goes positive and negative, and it oscillates up and down. And it's a certain frequency range, which means it goes up and down so many times per second. And the frequency for RF is what they call 900 megahertz, which means the RF goes negative and positive 900 million times per second. And that's the signal that's emitting from the smart meters to the utility companies. It oscillates at 900 million times a minute. I'm sorry, a second. So EMF, electromagnetic frequency, is the same thing. RF wave is basically an electromagnetic wave. So the term EMF and RF is the same. You can use interchange it. So from a technical standpoint, that's basically what RF is. And there are many appliances in the home that use RF, cell phones, cordless phones, baby monitors, microwaves, Wi-Fi routers, smart meters, and basically anything that uses wireless communication. The Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, said that any home appliance or anything that uses wireless has to be in that frequency, the RF frequency range. That's why all these devices use the same frequency. Since all these devices use it, you might think that, hey, I'm surrounded by all this, but what most people need to be worried about is the actual power level that all these wireless devices use. And RF, really, the exposure, what most people should be worried about is the actual power level that you're being exposed to. A good analogy might be sound waves. So if you're sensitive to loud noises and you're right next to a speaker, it's going to be detrimental to you. But if you walk into another room or you walk outside, you're further away from it, the sound's not as loud. Well, RF power is basically the same. The closer you are to it, the higher power that you're exposed to. So the closer you are, the worse and more exposure you have. Further away, the less power you're exposed to. Now, the FCC regulates what power these things can use. And what they do is they look over a certain power period of time, and they say during that period of time, you can't be exposed more than a certain average power. And that's how all these devices work, except smart meters. And the way the utility companies have gotten around the specifications from the FCC is that instead of a constant power, they pulse it. And remember I said about every 20 to 40 seconds they pulse it. But they pulse it for very short pulses, but very high power. So when you average these very high power pulses, it meets the FCC spec. And so that's why if you're near a smart meter, you're getting these very high power pulses, as opposed to like a cordless phone or a baby monitor that are very low power but constant. So that's kind of how all these appliances work. They're all around you, but you need to see which has the most power and how close you are to them. And that's what most people need to be concerned. The good news is that the power level drops off quite rapidly with distance. So the further you are from it, the better, and it does drop off very rapidly. The bad news is that RF power goes through almost all materials. It goes through wood, it goes through cement, it goes through glass, it goes through everything, except a couple things, and I'll talk about that. And then the other thing is that the RF wave propagates radially, and it's not directional. So what happens is if you have a smart meter on the outside of your house, it radiates in all directions, including back into your house. And that's why people are exposed all the time to smart meters, is because it's very similar to sound waves. Say you're in a room with a speaker, and then you go in another room and you still hear the sound because the sound propagates radially back into that room. So again, that's how RF propagates. It goes everywhere. Now, there are devices that you can measure the power level. There's RF meters and RF analyzers, and basically what they do is they measure the power level per unit area. And then that's kind of a gauge of the power that you're being exposed to. And people can buy those, and you can get them, but they're a little bit complicated to use. But it's pretty important to know the power level that you're being exposed to. Does that make sense?
No, that's good. So let me just ask you a question. So the thing about these radio frequencies or EMFs, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, part of the reason why they can pose a problem is because they are man-made. Tell me if I have this wording wrong, but they're man-made frequencies. They don't exist in nature. Is that correct?
They don't exist in nature.
What I found really interesting in the research I've done, that our cells actually have receptor sites for frequencies. And if these receptor sites on our cells experience a frequency just like a toxin that is unnatural to the body, they have adverse consequences, and then the cells respond as though they're being attacked by an outside toxic force, and therefore have all sorts of physiological responses to that, which now is like constantly going on because we're constantly exposed. You know, I think the fact that what really is astounding to me is that in less than 30 years or so, we have now been absolutely submerged, inundated 24/7 with these radio frequency pulses that have never existed in the history of humanity before.
Exactly, yeah. And there's a couple examples over time. One good example I like to use is X-rays. You know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, you know, they developed the X-ray to look at bones and your internal organs. But, you know, long-term exposure caused some severe side effects, cancers and all kinds of illnesses. So with smart meters and high-frequency RF and EMF, I don't think anybody really understands the long-term effect that we might not be seeing now. But as you say, from a cellular standpoint, you know, what does 20 years exposure mean or could cost? Another thing that was like this is smoking. You know, for years people smoked, right? No one thought it was a problem. And then everybody started getting lung cancer. And then they discovered the long-term effects of smoking is pretty bad. So the problem is that with high-frequency waves, no one really knows what the long-term effect might be on people.
But we do have the canaries in the coal mine, who are those people yeah. who have those sensitivities. For whatever reason, they're more susceptible to the impact. And recently I had a guest on my show, Dr. Martin Paul, who was talking about how exposure to EMF creates massive oxidative stress, which is so damaging to the DNA and other problems. And people, therefore, who have this hypersensitivity are experiencing sleep problems, headache, nausea, anxiety, heart palpitations, tinnitus and ear pain, concentration, memory problems, dizziness, immune, nervous, and hormonal systems issues. I mean, so there are those people who are already demonstrating that this is a risk to our health and well-being.
You're absolutely right. And the way I look at it is there's really two concerns, because I talk to a lot of people that, and you hear this a lot, it says, oh, it doesn't bother me. I've been by it for years, and it doesn't affect me. So there's a concern, well, it doesn't affect you now, but the long-term effect is a concern. And then what you're mentioning is that there are people that it does affect. There are many people that are sensitive to it. And like you say, the sensitivity varies depending on your physical specific physiological sensitivities to it. So, yeah, there are a lot of people that are sensitive to it now, no doubt.
Yeah, and, so you know,
we hear from a lot of them.
I'm sure you do. And, you know, it's been denied by many governments, but I know there are countries such as Sweden who acknowledge that electro-hypersensitivity is a real valid condition, and they are, you know, taking these people seriously and providing them with compensation because they're debilitated. They can't function. They can't work. So.
Exactly. Well, you know, we, having an internet business and YouTube, we get a lot of comments. And we get a lot of comments from people that, you know, hey, you're crazy. It doesn't affect you. You know, it's all, you know, not real. And but what we've come to learn is that we aren't in a position, and we don't think anybody else is, to tell someone else what they are or aren't sensitive to. And a good analogy would be like someone saying, oh, you're not allergic to bee stings, because I'm not.
Right.
So, you know, you just can't tell someone they aren't sensitive to someone, and we get that a lot. So the sensitivity to EMF is a real thing, and there are people that are extremely sensitive to it. So.
And especially when the World Health Organization has classified RFs as a 2B carcinogen, which is the same category that DDT and lead is placed in. So I think there's no doubt that these frequencies, well, they're carcinogens. You know, that category is a possible carcinogen, so it's as good as saying it is a carcinogen.
I can tell you that, you know, for me, I'm not sensitive to it, but I shield myself from it, and I feel much better just knowing and not being exposed to it, because I don't know if I'm going to become sensitive to it or what the long-term effect might be. So just knowing I'm shielded from it gives me peace of mind.
Well, I mean, that's what we're really talking about, is being proactive and preventative, which is the best insurance you can possibly do. And, you know, let's stop here. And when we come back after the break, Carl, we can talk more about how to be protected and where we go from here. So I want everyone to stay tuned. We have this really important conversation, because you probably want to go and check your house right now while we have our break, because they're going to sneak those meters on, and they don't tell you and they don't warn you. So you just might be shocked, as many of my friends have, to discover that one day they came back and found a smart meter on the side of their wall in their home. So anyway, we're going to just take a quick break. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and I'll see you on the other side of the break.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
Carrie Harrison with you, inviting you to join me on The Smart Show every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're not able to catch me live, you can go to the archives at prn.fm or harrison.fm. Don't forget, it's impeccable behavior to rate the show on iTunes. We come to you each Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live from Hollywood, where we bring on the movers and shakers, whistleblowers and muckrakers. There's nothing like it anywhere else, and it's here on PRN.FM. If you like a smart show, then join me, Carrie Harrison. It's Harrison on the Progressive Radio Network. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Gary Knoll's incisive documentary and informational films on today's most crucial issues have won dozens of international awards. As a free service to listeners, acclaimed films such as War on Health and Seeds of Death are available to watch in their entirety online. Just go to YouTube and search for Gary Knoll. Thank you for your continued support.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're talking about what you must know about smart meters and how best to be protected from exposure to those radio frequencies. And my guest, Carl Hyman, is an expert in the area of radio frequencies and is really explaining what's going on. And also, we're going to be talking about what you can do to protect yourself and your family from these smart meters, which are going on everywhere. And as I said earlier in the show, the statistic I found is that 602.7 million smart meters will be installed by 2016 worldwide. So there you go. Okay, Carl, so this has been a great conversation. You've been really helpful and doing a great job in explaining in a really simple way what the technology is all about and how it works and the dangers and risks. I have a question for you. You said that the exposure to those radio frequencies drop off quite rapidly from the source. So how far away do you need to go before that exposure drops off?
Well, it drops off at a rate of 1 over the inverse square of the distance. So I know that doesn't mean much to people.
Which means?
But it's almost exponential. And so for me, it's hard to tell people what is safe or not. And so we generally don't tell people this is safe, this isn't safe. But what we do is we can quantify the amount of RF that you're exposed to versus distance from the smart meter. And there's a study out there called the SAGE report. It's very popular with people investigating EMF and stuff. And they did some modeling on RF power versus distance from smart meters. And we graph that, and when people ask that, we send them that graph, and it shows you in microwatts per square meter how much RF you might be exposed to versus distance from the smart meter. And so it's really hard to tell. Usually what we do is we send people this graph, and they look at it, and they see how much they might be exposed to, and then they can decide if they want to be shielded or not. But one thing is that it does not take very much RF power to transmit a signal a very long distance. And the reason the utility companies made smart meters is that they made it so that they will, all of them will work no matter where they are. So they made all of them with very high power. And so even if you block 90% of it or 95% or 98%, enough gets out for the utility company to still get their signal. That's why the smart meter guard that we make still works with the utility companies. But at some point at our website, we may post that graph that shows RF power density versus distance, because unless you measure it, you don't really know. What I can tell you, if you're within 40 feet of it or less, it's a fairly significant amount of RF power density.
And what if,
whether it's safe or not, it's up to the individual person and their sensitivities.
Yeah, and I think it needs to be reiterated that this frequency is radial. I mean, it's going in all directions. It's going inside your home, and depending on where that meter is on your home, sometimes it's against the wall of your bedroom or your children's bedroom, and that's the worst place you want to have that exposure, because while you're sleeping and being exposed, you are the most vulnerable of all, because so many functions go on when you are in that room sleeping, you know, physiological functions and healing and repair, and you can't do that really well when you're exposed to those RFs. So you need to know where it is. Also, if you're in an apartment complex, often you can have several, right, in the same area?
Oh, we've seen like 10 or 20 of them right outside people's bedrooms' windows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Feel sorry for.
Yeah. So, and then if you're close to your neighbors and they have it on, I mean, it may be a whole neighborhood that is radiating these frequencies from their own individual smart meters. And if you're part of this clustering of relaying systems through smart meters, which have become their own networks, I mean, and you never know, right? If your smart meter is one of those collectors that's been collecting and sending out these frequencies as like a little mini cell phone tower in the neighborhood.
Exactly, yeah. It turns out the smart meter on my house is a collector meter, and that's the one that you see in the video on our website, so it transmits quite a bit. But again, it's a matter of power density, the power level that you're exposed to. So the good news is if you're further away from it, there's less power exposure.
Well, good news, relatively
speaking. Good news
because there's so many. I mean, because that's not the only source of RF exposure. Because we're on our phones, we're on our computers. There are cell phones cell towers that surround us, getting bigger and bigger all the time. I mean, this is just one level of constant and intense exposure. So,
yeah.
So Carl, you have your background with radio frequencies and your semiconductor work, and you saw a problem. How did you solve this problem?
Yeah, well, we took a very, very technical approach. So if you look at RF waves, these electromagnetic waves, there's basically two ways to block them. One way is called reflective, which means if you have a piece of sheet metal, if you have a piece of foil, when the wave hits it, it reflects off of it. And so you can actually deflect it. The problem is that you see a lot of these homemade solutions on the Internet, YouTube and stuff, where people put foil over the meters. And the problem is that they could be reflecting or actually concentrating the RF in a direction or a place they don't want. So we usually don't recommend using sheet metal or foil. So the second method to block RF is what's called absorption. And absorption is where the wave actually absorbs into the material, and that's usually what's called a Faraday cage. And a Faraday cage absorbs the RF, but it does it, and I'll get into a little physics of this, is that essentially a Faraday cage is parallel lines of metal, like a metal mesh or metal wire. Mm-hmm. And the actual wave, as it oscillates back and forth, creates a field effect between the parallel metal lines and can't go through it. And so it's absorbed into the Faraday cage. Now, the good news about Faraday cages is that they work even if they're not grounded. The field effect just can't go through the parallel lines of metal. So our solution was to develop a shield that is made of a Faraday cage or is a Faraday cage. The other thing is that whether it's a Faraday cage or sheet metal or foil, it's important to completely cover whatever is emitting the RF, whether it's a router or a smart meter, because as soon as there's an opening, or if it's not completely covered, RF will escape out of there and propagate radially and expose you. So it's really important to really encapsulate the whole device that's emitting the RF. So again, the two ways is reflective or absorption. We use the absorption, which is the Faraday cage, and it's basically a law of physics that RF wave can't pass through parallel lines of metal. So it's a 100% technical solution.
So I was going to say, Carl, I remember watching Enemy of the State. Do you remember that movie, Enemy of the State, with Denzel Washington? And it's one of these thrillers. And one of the characters in the movie, to be protected from all the surveillance, actually lived and worked inside a Faraday cage.
Yeah, that's right, because RF waves can't go through it, and you're completely shielded. People can't monitor. You can't send a signal out.
Yeah.
So they really do work.
Do you find that there are people who have electrosensitivity who are actually creating Faraday cages around their bed?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there are places that will sell a metal mesh fine fabric that's a tent that you can put over your bed. I've seen people build actual physical cages around their bed.
Yeah.
There's clothing that you can buy that will shield you, a metal fabric that is basically a Faraday cage.
Wow.
So anything
so
with they do work, and no doubt. But the key is you have to make sure that it completely covers you or the device emitting it, or RF leaks out.
So you have to go. So like if you use it around your bed, your entire bed on top, underneath, the sides, everything has to be covered.
Yeah. I've seen products for sale on the Internet where they will take a piece of screen or some shielding paint and they put it on the wall. And the problem with that is that while it blocks the RF right behind that, RF will go around it because, remember, it propagates radially, and it will eventually come back around that shield. So it's really important to encapsulate whatever's transmitting the RF or emitting the RF.
A lot of people don't
realize that. And then, grounding for a Faraday cage is not a requirement. Grounding's always a good practice. You should ground whatever. But a Faraday cage will block RF whether it's grounded or not.
So on your website, which I want to tell people is smartmeterguard.com, if people want to learn more about it. And you do have a good video there which shows your RF meter measuring before and after. But here's my question. So in the photo I see of you with your Faraday cage, your smart meter guard over the smart meter, I see it covered up against the wall, but I don't see it covered behind the smart meter.
No, very good question. Yeah, we get that question a lot. So here is what happens is the smart meter is mounted on the utility box. And the utility box is actually made of metal, sheet metal, the front, the sides, the back, the top. So your utility box is actually a Faraday cage in itself. So it blocks a lot of the RF going out the back and the sides. So where the RF transmits out of is the glass portion of the smart meter. And so it transmits out radially back into your house. Now, once you put the smart meter guard over the smart meter, the whole entire unit is covered in grounded metal. So no RF, well, a small amount, about 1% or 2% escapes. So that's the reason with our product, you don't require extra shielding behind it. Because it's all encapsulated in a Faraday cage. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does make sense to me.
Yeah.
So, and I saw the readings from your meter on the video that showed almost nothing. I mean, once you put that cage on, there was almost very little readings either on the outside of your home or the inside of the home that's, you know, adjacent to that meter, which is really impressive to see such a drop-off when you put that cage on it.
Well, there's two things. We're really big on showing actual real-life data that something works. And so we made the video showing us outside, and then we got a lot of emails saying, well, what about the inside? So then we demonstrated by measuring the inside, and we put that video up. And so it's real important to see real data. Otherwise, you don't really know if something works or not. And I think I told you this before, is really what we tell people is that if you don't see data on something working regarding RF and shielding, it probably doesn't work. So in everybody who's listening, go out and research. Make sure that you see data that it actually works, and that's real important.
So, Carl, can we talk about routers? Because we talked about smart meters, and you have your Faraday cage for the smart meter, which I really encourage people to check out because whether you believe there's a problem or not, get protected anyway, because I think the fact that the World Health Organization has already acknowledged that radio frequencies are 2B carcinogen is telling us we have a serious problem now. So get protected. Be proactive. It's a good investment. But the other thing I wanted to ask you was about routers, because you have also created a Faraday cage, which I am going to get for my router. And we all have routers in our homes these days, or at work, or at schools. So talk a bit about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Yeah. The one thing that the reason that we decided to make one for routers is that in my office I have a bookshelf on my desk, and right above it I have a router. And so I have an RF analyzer that measures the power density that any device puts out. And I brought in my office my router, and it was almost off the charts on this analyzer. And I thought, geez, I'm working under this, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. And so so we decided to build a product that would block the RF. It blocks about 95% of the RF, so you can still use the router because of the small amount of signal that comes out. But it works really well, and it blocks it. So we decided to make that and sell that as a product as well. Because the thing with the router is that I remember I told you that smart meters emit short pulses about every 20 to 30, 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. Well, routers emit constantly, just 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly exposed to that. And that's another reason we decided to make a router guard to block the RF from Wi-Fi routers.
So also it's good advice to shut your router off at night when you go to sleep. Actually turn it off so it's not pulsing at all.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple problems with that. Is that there's some, like the Comcast Xfinity, it's a router modem, and you can physically turn it off, but you can't turn it off from a software standpoint. But regular routers that you buy, whether it's a Netgear or another product, you can actually get the admin login to the router, and you can go in software-wise and turn off the Wi-Fi function in your router and then plug directly into it. And then it doesn't emit RF. And almost all routers, you can do that and plug directly into them, and then you're not exposed. So that's another thing.
If I just turn off the button in the back of it, does that just turn it off?
Yes. If you turn the power off, it turns it off as well. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think also Wi-Fi routers, if you have the login information, you can set the hours that they transmit. So you can say start at 8 in the morning and turn off at 10 o'clock at night. And that's another route to go as well.
Oh, well. So that's good information for people who want to know how they can take more control over their router.
Yeah, just look at the manual for your router, and it will tell you how to log in, and then you just go to your settings, and you can turn the Wi-Fi function off, or you can set timers for it.
So your Faraday cage for the router actually you set your router, the whole router, inside this
right.
box.
Remember
right?
I said it's important to encapsulate whatever's transmitting, the RF? So the Wi-Fi router card that we have, it's a box with a hinge, and you put your router in it, and you close it, and it has a hole in one end for the cables to come out. And so we're totally encapsulating the router in a Faraday cage. And
let me ask you, is there one size fits all for that?
Yes. One size. Well, we made one size that fits about 99% of the routers. It doesn't fit the Xfinity router, but we will be making a bigger one for that. That's a huge one by Comcast, and they make them really big because it's a router and a modem combined, so they make it big. But that's the only one that we found that it doesn't fit.
I mean, I sit about 3 feet from my router. Not a good idea, is it, without protection?
No, I'm about a foot from mine, so.
So there was one other thing. Because I have many listeners in Australia and New Zealand, when we were talking, you said that, unfortunately, your guard, the little Faraday cage guard that you've made, does not fit over the meters in Australia, and I'm sure it's...
Reason for that is that if you look at smart meters in Australia and New Zealand, they're rectangular in shape, and they're mounted inside the utility box, and they're bolted to the back of it. And remember how I said it's important to encapsulate the whole smart meter? Since it's bolted, you can't cover the back of it. And not only is it bolted to the back, but the screws they use to bolt it on are proprietary screws that you can't undo. So you can't lift it off to put a shield behind it.
Oh.
So we've designed a two-piece shield, but then we quickly found that the utility companies use these proprietary screws and don't allow people to remove and put the shield under it. We're working on a new solution. After the first of the year, we should probably have that solution ready, and we'll put that on the market as well.
So you have devised a way for people in Australia to be protected, a version of your Faraday cage.
Exactly, and we'll release that probably mid-January.
Oh, well, that's good. Are there other countries that have a similar technology as Australia? Does New Zealand do that? Are you aware of?
Yes, New Zealand does the same thing. We've built some in Europe, but Europe is kind of a hodgepodge. They have a lot of different types of smart meters, a lot of different sizes. It's kind of funny because for some reason, in the U.S. and Canada and Puerto Rico and stuff, they standardized on one size smart meter. And it's the round smart meter that you see, and they're all mounted by a metal ring, and that metal ring is the same size, and the smart meter is the same size throughout Canada and the U.S. So the guard that we make for the smart meter, it fits all of them in the U.S. and Canada, no problem.
Well, that's good for all of us here in the U.S. and Canada, and folks listening from Australia and New Zealand, hang tight because you'll be coming out with a solution. And, I that's why I was really thrilled to have found you, Carl, because there are so few really effective solutions to protect us from these smart meters. Since it's so hard, I mean, it's really hard to get them removed once they're put on, even to opt out. If your state or your utilities even allows you to opt out, they make you pay for the privilege of opting out.
We talked to a lot of people that the utility companies, like you said, don't even allow them to opt out. And then the ones that do, they charge you an upfront fee, which is usually about $75, and then they charge you $10 or $15 a month. And so you do the simple math on that for 5 years, it's $600 or $700 you have shelled out to the utility company. So that's why we produce this solution. It's a one-time solution that you put it on, and you don't pay any more. You can take it with you if you move. So,
and it lasts forever, more or less.
Yeah, you get out of stainless steel so it doesn't rust or corrode. And
it
goes on to the smart meter with a screw. You just simply put it on and tighten the screw, and it's on. So try to make it very simple.
And so what do you charge for the smart meter guard and also the router guard?
The smart meter guard is $129.95,
right,
and the router guard is $52.95.
Yeah.
And we do get a lot of comments, and people go, why is it so expensive? But, you know, in reality, we wanted to make a quality product. So we made it out of high-grade 316 stainless steel. There's about 8 pieces to it that are bead blasted, cut, assembled, bent, spot welded, and hand polished, all by a manufacturer in the U.S. So unfortunately, it costs us more, so we got to charge a little bit more. But it is a quality product that will last 10 or 15 years, if not longer. And so then you don't have to worry about it.
And I really want people to understand that I don't think that is very much money at all. I mean, I've looked around, and I know what other people are charging for other technologies that probably are not very effective, if at all. So to find something that has such profound benefits because it's actually stopping this radial effect of radiation frequencies, which means people are not being exposed. What price our health? You know, what is it worth?
Yeah, and there's another way you can look at it is that if you amortize it over a year, it's basically $12 a month. If you amortize it over 2 years, it's basically $6 a month.
And if you're having to pay to opt out, if you're even allowed to, it's just going to be a whole lot more. So, you know, and I encourage people to go visit Carl's website, smartmeter.guard. There's a great video, and I think you'll be impressed, as I was, to see and demonstrated the results. There's no way you could make that up, Carl.
Yeah.
And besides, I know you're passionate about this subject and are really trying to help people get solutions that really work.
Yeah, and it's actually the website, so it's smartmeterguard.com.
Right. Did I not say that? Okay, smart meter guard.
Well, I hope we got a chance to educate people, and they can certainly email us if they have questions, or email you, and you can relay them to us. And we're really big on trying to educate people, because we feel the more educated you are, the better decisions you can make when you understand this stuff. So.
Well, Carl Hyman, thank you so much for being with us. It's been quite educational. So appreciate what you're doing. You're welcome. And for all of you listening, thank you. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.